Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's go to Seattle now, where an increase in the minimum wage has produced some confusing and controversial results. In 2014, Seattle moved to incrementally raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour. And there was a recent study which looked at the increase when it was at $13 an hour. And the study has some people questioning the move. Researchers at the University of Washington found that hours clocked by low-wage workers fell. And in the end, Seattle's workers lost an average of $125 a month because of the mandated increase. Now, not all economists agree with the study and how it was conducted, but it's definitely raised questions of how far cities and states should go when raising their minimum wage. Ben Castleman is chief economics writer for 538, and he joins me now. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Todd.
Well, this study in Seattle was controversial, as I mentioned, but what did we learn about raising the minimum wage to the neighborhood of $13, $14, or $15 an hour and how it could affect low-wage workers?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's sort of worth taking a very quick step back here and thinking about the context, which is that we've had decades of research on the minimum wage, but that research has tended to focus on much more modest increases at a much lower level, right? The federal minimum wage is at $7.25. We kind of know what happens if we were to raise that to $7.50 or $8. But when we start talking about minimum wages at $12 and $13 and $15 an hour, we really don't have much context for that. And so Seattle is kind of at the leading edge of this. Their minimum wage, at least for some companies, is now at $15 an hour. And this University of Washington study sort of took a look at what happened there, and its findings were that it ended up hurting the very low-wage workers that it was meant to help.
One of the things I read about this study and about the effect that it may have had on workers on the ground is that places like restaurants, given that they had to pay more, just focused on higher-wage workers with more experience. They said, okay, let's retain those people and not hire as many people at the low end, essentially knocking out what you might think of as the bottom rung of the ladder.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, with all of these policies, right, there are winners and there are losers. And so if you're a company in Seattle and you employ low-wage workers, now you have to pay more. You look for people who have the experience and the skills to be worth that kind of money. And so if you're a relatively experienced worker in Seattle right now, you probably benefited. But if you're a teenager, if you're somebody who's just trying to get into the labor market or trying to get back into the labor market, or you don't have much in the way of experience or skills, then at least according to this study, you might end up losing out.
What are some of the criticisms of what this study in Seattle may have missed?
There's some specific methodological concerns with it. It had to, for some sort of picky data reasons, had to skip over a lot of so-called multi-site businesses, a lot of chain restaurants, which of course are major employers of low-wage workers. They had to look only in the state of Washington. And probably the biggest issue here is that the Seattle economy is booming. And so it's really difficult to tease out to the extent that there have been changes in the economy, what of that is because of the minimum wage versus what of that is due to the booming Seattle economy. I think what we sort of need to look at in the bigger picture here is this was a high-quality study. It had some very good data that had some concerning findings. That doesn't mean it's the last word on it, but it does sort of give pause to stop and think about what the evidence is on either side.
So, Ben Castleman, before we let you go, that pause comes at a time, as we mentioned, where cities and jurisdictions across the country are moving to increase their minimum wage. San Francisco, New York, places in Oregon, Seattle, we mentioned. There are many others. What do we know now about that critical sweet spot, that Rubicon? You want to raise minimum wages because it gives low-income people more money. At some point, there's a point where you cross over and you make it harder for people to hire. What do we know about where that point is?
This study would suggest that in Seattle, $13 started to get to that limit. And what's concerning about that, and again, we're going to have to do more research, but what's concerning about that is Seattle is a very high-cost, high-wage city. You know, it's on par with New York and with San Francisco. We're starting to see these really high minimum wages spread to other areas, to places with lower costs of living, where they might have a bigger negative impact. And so if Seattle can't stand $13 or $15, that really does raise questions about about what might happen in some other cities where the cost of living is lower.
Ben Castleman, chief economics writer for 538. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much for having me.